Jesus, I think about how nice and kind he is. And like, that's just kind of like my filter of who Jesus is. And so I want to expound on that today and about like why I think he's so kind and why you should think he's so kind as well. And it's just the truth. Sometimes, good job, Jake, get those flies. All right. Sometimes, like, do you know it's like a truth that some people like don't think that Jesus is nice or that Jesus is good or Jesus is kind. They think of him as harsh, as maybe too far away for me to talk to. Like, this is a real reality that people, like, actually believe that Jesus is too holy for them to even know or to even have conversations with. Or some people don't even know they can talk to Jesus or the Holy Spirit or God. Like, I had this conversation with this young lady just a few weeks ago, and she didn't even know that she could talk to the Holy Spirit. Like, that the Holy Spirit was God. So, like, this was, like, just a whole new concept for her. So I just want to, like, open up a new paradigm for you of who Jesus is. And I just want you to say, like, open your heart right now to accept that, that maybe Jesus, like, looks a little differently than you imagined him to be, and maybe he's a little nicer than you imagined him to be. And, like, that's amazing that people wouldn't think that he's good or nice. So that's just kind of, like, what I'm thinking about. So did you know that Jesus is really nice? So there, here we go. So I want to go into different layers here of this message and like go deeper and deeper and deeper. The first layer is that Jesus died for you. And I think that everybody knows that since they were like pretty young. If you lived in America, grew up in like a Lutheran church or something like that, like typical South Dakotan, that you knew that Jesus died for you. So the first thing that Jesus did for us that's kind is that he died for us. So we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God gave up Jesus so that we can have eternal life. Jesus chose to give up his life so that we may have life. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make sense why he would do that. He's perfect. He just did it because he loves us, and he's really, really good. He really, really likes us. Can you believe that he really likes you right now? It's crazy. It's gonna like make you feel uncomfortable that Jesus likes you this much. I just want you to know that. In Mark 10:44-45, it says, "And whoever wants to be the first must be a slave of all." So that's just a crazy concept. If you want to be first, you must be a slave. "For even the Son of Man, who is Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, to give up his life as a ransom for many." It's just mind-boggling to me that Jesus came to the earth and he didn't come to be, like, served as a king, even though he was the king and he could have been served in that way. He came to be served, to serve other people. Like, he came to serve other people. And that's just mind-boggling. And to give up his life as a ransom for many. Like, that's just crazy. Who thinks that's crazy? I think it's amazing. Jesus is so nice. Do we understand how kind Jesus was when he died for us? Do we fully comprehend how amazingly nice and good to us that he was when he died to us? When I was 15 years old, I was kind of a rough young lady, believe it or not. I was a little bit wild, and I really liked listening to music that talked about how everyone was horrible, and the world is horrible, and I hated everybody. So that was my favorite type of music when I was 14 and 15. And I had a lot of friends like that, too, that hated everything and hated people. And that was our favorite thing to talk about. It's like, I hate people. So one day, my friend, we were talking, and all of a sudden, he just went crazy, and he grabbed my hair, and he started pulling me across the room by my hair. Just, like, went crazy. Like, and I was like, that is just mean. I was crying. I was mad at them. And I just walked home in that moment with my cousin, because he was my bestie at the time, my little cousin. And we walked home. And my sister, Jessica McKinley, how many of you know her? She was, like, waiting for me at the house. And she was like, "Hey, do you guys want to come to Sunday night church with us?" And I was like, "No." Just had this horrible day. My friend just pulled me across the room by my hair. Like, and then my cousin was like, "Let's just go, you know, like, we don't have anything else to do, don't have any other plans, you know." So we went to church, and make a long story short, Pastor Jeff came to me that night, and he was there, Pastor Jeff was, and he was like, "Winter, like, where are you gonna go when you die?" And I was like, "Whoa, like, this is crazy. Like, I never, like, had that grid for God that if you don't live for God, you're going to go to hell." Like, I never had that grid. Like, you really do have to live for God. Like, you can't just say a prayer and believe. You have to, like, live your life that way. It's like, that's crazy to me. And so I started weeping and weeping and weeping because I knew I was going to go to hell in that moment. And then I invited Jesus into my life in that moment, and I got saved because Jesus died for us so that we can be saved. And I felt his love for the very, very first time. He took away all my sin, like every last bit of it. He was so nice to me in that moment. I did not deserve to be saved, like, at all. I was a terrible child. Like I deserved to be in timeout for a very long time. It's very, very, very mean. And but he came and he touched me, and he taught me, like, how to love him, and he loved me back. And, like, it was just this exchange in that moment. And in that moment, like, I was like, anything, Jesus, anything you want, anything you have for me, I want. So they started praying for me, and they started, like, praying the Holy Spirit would come upon me. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit that same moment, like, when I got saved. And, like, then I felt this liquid love. How many felt that presence before? Like, if you haven't, you really should consider it. It's really, really nice. It just feels really good. I just felt this freedom and these boulders coming off my back in that moment. And that's when I gave my life to Jesus. And that is why I live for him forever, because of what he did for me in that moment. Like, that changed the course of my little 15-year-old life. And, like, I have never been the same person since. Like I would go anywhere, do anything for Jesus because of what he did for me in that one moment. If he just did that one thing for me, like, I'm in, like, forever. But he just continually does more and more and more. So what Jesus did for us reversed all of our punishment. So a few weeks ago, our children were being kids, and they were just, you know, getting in a lot of trouble. And all of a sudden, we looked behind us, and they had, like, groundings upon groundings for probably a few months down the road because they were doing some pretty naughty things, because kids do naughty things sometimes. And we were just kind of overwhelmed. We couldn't remember all the groundings they were doing because they were doing so many bad things. And so we're like, okay, we look at each other. We're, like, at a loss. We don't know what to do. And I was like, let's just unground them from everything. Have, like, a jubilee moment for them, so to speak. So we just, like, went downstairs, and we told them, you know, like, in all of our wisdom as parents, we're like, this is going to be great. They're going to love us for this, and, like, they're going to thank us for this, like we do with Jesus. And then we tell them, and they're like, oh, cool, let's watch some TV, you know? Like, they just really didn't, like, understand or get everything that just happened to them. And I was like, no, do you understand what we just did for you just now? We just reversed all your punishment. Like, there's no more punishment. And they're just like, yeah, let's watch some TV. Like, I was just like, I wonder if that's how Jesus feels sometimes. He's like, do you understand how, like, what I'm doing for you right now is, like, giving up all of these things that should matter, that are still true. You were still being naughty, and you're still doing naughty things. But, like, he just gave them up. There you go. They're gone. Because we have authority to do that for you. So it was just kind of funny. Like, we just need to, like, understand. I was like, can you just understand for a second? Augustine was like, I understand. I'm like, you're not in trouble, though, so. He's the perfect child. But if you know Augustine, he really is a good kid. But we love all our kids equally. They're all perfect. But just sometimes they struggle, like all of us. So I wanted to, so that's the first level, that Jesus died for you. The next level here is that he is the good shepherd. And so he takes care of us. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. This is in John 10:10-11. And then Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So Akiah understands that she's a sheep herder. So the Bible talks about how Jesus left the 99 to go find his one lost sheep because he cared about it so much. How he leaves the herd and he goes out to find it. I have a little visual aid today for you about what happens when you don't have a shepherd. So if you guys want to hit the lights for a second, Jesse? You want to pull up that picture for me, guys? It makes me really happy, this picture does. So this little guy, does your sheep look like this, Akiah? No, this little guy, he got lost in a cave for 6 years, and he lost his shepherd, and and so, like, when he, normally, like, when sheep, they get lost, they'll die more than likely they'll just die because someone will eat them, or they'll just fall and they'll just die because they're kind of dumb. But like, am I right about that? You guys, I'm like looking at you. I'm like, I'm talking about sheep. Jesse's a sheep herder too. So that's really cute. Isn't that cute? So 6 years of bull right there. He really needs a shepherd too. So this is his shepherd. He found him. You want to show that next slide? Okay, can you see this? It took him 30 minutes to shear the little guy. That's it. Done. Fast. All right, you can turn the lights back on. It's really cute. You can Google that image. Whenever I'm kind of feeling low, I Google the image of the sheep that got lost in the cave for 6 years because it makes me happy because he's so cute. That's just like kind of a picture of us and like how we are in desperate need of this shepherd to shepherd us. Like, that's what Jesus calls himself, the good shepherd. He leaves like everything to go look for you, to take care of you and take care of all your needs, because we're a little bit messed up without our shepherd, without Jesus. Can you tell that sheep was a little messed up without his shepherd? He was a little lost for sure. So you could tell he was lost too. So Jesus is a good shepherd, and he gave up everything for us. I mostly just wanted to show that sheep picture for you. That's the reason why I put that in there. So, all right, so keep going a little bit deeper. Jesus' kindness went beyond dying for us. So let's look at how Jesus lived his life. So in John 5, 19 through 20, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. So this is the truth. Jesus only did what he saw his Father in heaven doing. So who is his Father? His Father is God, right? And who is this Father? In James 1:17, it really describes who Father God is so beautifully. It says, every good thing given and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or no shifting shadows. So in Father God, there's no variation, there's no shifting shadows. Only good things come from Father God. Only perfect gifts come from above. Like, that's who God is. That's never going to change about him. No variation, no shifting shadow. He's always going to be who he says he is. I just think that's super beautiful. Do you guys know God intimately like that? Do you know the Father like that? Sometimes you look at Father God even like with the way we look at Jesus sometimes, as like just a judge, someone that's going to just, I got to get my ducks in a row. Otherwise, Father God's going to come and spank me. You know, like that's kind of the only way we think about God. And that's okay to think of God as someone who is your Father and disciplines you. But do you also think of him as every good thing comes from him? Every perfect gift is from above, from him. There's no variation in him, there's no shifting shadow. He's always God, he's always perfect. I think that's beautiful. So everything Jesus did on earth was good. And so I want to tell you a story from like kind of my mid-walk with Jesus. It happened about 6 years ago. I was at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and it was really awesome. I really liked that experience. About a month into it, I remember it very clearly. I was sitting on these steps outside of our apartment building thing, because you're in college, you live in weird places, I can't describe it. So I was sitting there, and like I just was like contemplating some stuff. So in South Dakota, I was like, I said yes to everything that I mentally understood about God already. Like, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I could raise my hands in worship. This was radical South Dakota living for me. When I got to Bethel, there was some crazy stuff going on there. Like, people were more radical for Jesus than I was. And they were saying yes to Jesus on things that I've never experienced before. They were seeing, like just insane things. Like, they were having open visions of angels, like, on a daily basis. This one girl, she was in my living room, and she just looked at me, and she was like, there's an angel before you that's like waving favor and grace, and a warrior angel behind you everywhere you go. And I was like, did you just see that right now when we were playing this game of like Uno? Like, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy. I've never seen an angel, you know, like, that's what I was trying to express. And like, and then people were like falling on the spirit and laughing and crying, and like people were praying for people like in public and seeing people get like healed and people get saved every single day. And people would talk about Jesus like he was their very best friend standing next to them right now all the time. Like, right now. He's like here right now. We're talking about Jesus. Every conversation they would say, what do you think, Jesus? Like, and I'm like, are you guys for real? Like, this is what's happening. Like, these people were radical for Jesus. And I was like radical, like, you know, a month ago in South Dakota. Like, I don't know what happened. And so I remember I was like sitting there and I was like, God, if you came right now and manifest an angel in front of me, like an angel, like I could see one, I would be totally freaked out by that right now. That would freak me out. And he was like, I know that would freak you out. I could hear his voice, you know. And then I was like, okay. And he was like, we got to work on that. And I was like, in that moment, I was like, yes, I say yes to you working that out in my life right now. And so from that, like, moment at that school, like, every time they had an altar call about anything, I was, like, running to the stage in the middle of everything because, like, this is what I told Jesus I would do. I don't understand it, but this is what I'm going to do. That crazy, you know, guy is up there with a fiddle, and he's, like, singing over people. I'm going to be right there, and he's just going to sing over me with that fiddle because I don't understand it, but that seems cool. So let's do it. Like, I'm going to lay on the floor and laugh with my friends that are doing the same thing. I'm going to encounter God. And then, like, God, like, opened up something for me in those months of, like, doing that. And, like, I'd lay there, and I would hear his voice clearly. And, like, over and over again, he would, like, we became, like, bestest friends. We became like lovers would be, like just intimately being able to communicate with each other. And he was so nice. He would say such nice things to me. He would be so uplifting. He would give me such confidence to do anything, like anything at all. Like he was so kind to me. Like that's who Jesus is. Like he is so gracious and kind to each and every one of us. And he's longing for us to just open our ears a little bit so that we can listen to him and hear those nice things he wants to say to us. It's just the truth. So in Acts 10:38, it says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God appointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And later in other parts of the gospel, it talks about how Jesus said that we're going to do greater things than these, talking about the works that he did. And what did Jesus do? He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And so the devil is a real big jerk. Just want to tell you that today. So, and he does really mean things in people's lives. But Jesus came to the earth to just like squash all that. Like, nope, that's not going to happen. I'm going to foil all your plans right now, devil. It's not going to happen. So that's what he did. And he healed everybody who was oppressed by the devil, doing only good things. And how many people in this room, this is going to be an easy question, have seen a miracle before? Yeah? Jesse's like, I don't know. Yeah, like more than half of you, like 75, 80% of you. That's amazing. Our church is living out that lifestyle that Jesus set before us and doing the good works. So every time we pray for someone to be healed, we're doing the good works that we see our Father in heaven doing, just how Jesus commanded us to do. So we're living out his kindness to others. I think that's just beautiful. Good to be kind. So I want to take it another step forward. So that's how Jesus lived. That's what Jesus did for us. He died for us. But like, I want to talk about who Jesus hung out with when he was on earth. So during Jesus' ministry, it was really interesting, the people that he interacted with on earth. It's like totally surprising who he would choose to be his best friends on earth. So first thing, in Matthew 19:14, he hung out with children. So this is a really fun verse. It said, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So like, look at your kids and say, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. That's crazy that God would entrust the kingdom of heaven to my four-year-old. That's crazy. He really, really loves kids. That's really unique that he would choose to love on children and to choose them to let them come to him. So I think that's cool. The second group of people that he hung out with was tax collectors. In Luke 5:27-32, Jesus calls a tax collector to come and be his disciple. And he even goes to the tax collector's house. And so in our mind, it's not a big idea, a big deal. You know, like he went to the IRS's house, not that big of a deal. But it's not like, you know, the IRS is like, we're just afraid that they're going to audit our taxes so we're above board so we don't go to jail. It's more like the tax collectors in their time would just steal all your money. And that's just kind of, they were like thieves and like they would just take money from people because that's just kind of their reputation. They were really like sinners. Everybody knew that. So But Jesus decided to go to their house and disciple them and bring them to Jesus, bring them to himself, and bring them to God. And, like, they got saved, like, which is crazy. That's who he chose to hang out with. He's just really nice to everybody. And the third, there's another group after this. So the third group he hung out with was prostitutes. Do you guys know that story of that woman that came and she broke her alabaster jar at Jesus' feet? Do you know that she was a prostitute? Like, that's crazy. And, like, in their time, like, for a Jewish leader, like, to allow a prostitute to even touch them, they have to, like, you guys read Leviticus and the law. Like, they have to go through some serious rituals to clean themselves for after being touched by someone that's unclean, such as a prostitute. In which she wasn't, like, you know, a sex slave. She was a prostitute. You know, I'm sure she was forced into some things, but, like, she chose that lifestyle. In a sense, she was a sinner. She chose to be a sinner. So it's like, Jesus allowed himself to be touched by that, and he reprimanded people for making fun of him for that, for, like, calling him out on that. He forgives her and empowers her to sin no more instead of stoning her. That's just amazing. And then I just want to do a little Bible study with you on this fourth group. So if you guys want to open your Bible to John chapter 4, if you have it with you. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 30. So we're going to do a little Bible study here. So bear with me. We've got plenty of time. That's great. So when I was thinking about Jesus' kindness, this story instantly popped out in my mind. Maybe because I'm a woman, maybe because of different things. I don't know. Like, I just really love this story. I really, like, relate to this story a lot because I'm just, you know, it's good. You'll see. So it's about the Samaritan woman. All right, are you there? Let's read it. Okay, he had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. I'm just going to make it up to make it sound cool. All right, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his long walk, sat there wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to do anything with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" So I'm just going to stop there for a minute and set up this, like, history. The reason why Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other, Pastor Jeff just told me this week, so we're going to learn together, was because back a long time ago, there was northern Israel and Judah. And in northern Israel, there was judgment coming for them, and that's where the Samaritans were. They weren't called Samaritans at the time. Like, Syria came and attacked northern Israel, and they did not like the Jewish people so much in northern Israel that they... But one, they sent them away. They went, put them in exile. And two, they sent other people of different religions into northern Israel to mix up their religion so that they're, like, kind of a mixed religion to kind of wipe out Judaism, like, all, like, of Jews in that region. And then Judah, which is where a lot of the Jews live currently and in this time, they were later into exile into Babylon, but they weren't mixed up religions, so, like, their religion stayed more true to Judaism, so they're more Jewish. So northern Israel, kind of a mixed religion of Jewish and other things, so a lot of, like, idol worship and stuff like that, and then Judah was, like, Jewish people. So the Jewish people did not like the Samaritans, and they had no compassion for them, for their mixed religion that they had. They were tainted people because of this mixed religion that they had. And so especially priests, they weren't allowed to associate with Samaritans and rabbis. They weren't allowed to do that, which Jesus was a rabbi, and he wasn't allowed to associate with them. And he went out of his way to associate with this Samaritan woman. And then also, on top of that, she was a woman, and he was alone with this woman. And in that day, you weren't allowed to be alone with a woman if you were a guy, especially if you were a rabbi, because it just looks really bad. So lots of things that Jesus did to reach this woman. Lots of hurdles he had to overcome so to reach this person. So the fourth point I wanted to make is that Jesus hangs out with people of different religions and also different ethnic groups. So, and with women. So that's good. I'm glad about that. Because I'm a woman. I don't know if you knew that. But all right. And then Jesus replied to her. Let's go back into this. And 10. Wasn't that interesting? I was like, that's so interesting. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for telling me that. So that's a little history lesson for today. All right. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water, which is pretty cool. He's already extending an invitation to her to go a little bit deeper and to get saved. And he said, and she said, but sir, you don't have a robe or a bucket. She said, this is a well and is very deep. And where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well? Can you offer us better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? So she was kind of being a little sassy towards Jesus. Like, you're being really cryptic. So like, I'm just going to be a little sassy towards you. So then Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. All right, who has experienced the fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life? That's what happens when you get saved, just to clarify. All right, and it feels like that, right? Right? Amen? And she said, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water, like still being a little sassy, like, right? And she just doesn't get it, right? And then she says, then he says, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. And she said, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And Jesus said, you are right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. So this is crazy. Jesus kind of reads her mail a little bit, and he's like, now I'm going to prophesy over you and show you that I am who I say I am. And it's just really unique, you know. So also he, like, she's probably like a loose woman if she's had five husbands and she's not married to this guy and she's living with them. That's probably like sin. Do you guys know that living with someone and you're not married is sin? I don't know. It's truth. Okay. All right. All right. And then she says, sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship while Samaritans claim it is here on Mount Gizarim, Chayod, I don't know how to say it. Our ancestors worship here. So they're going back to that history of like where the Jews say only Jerusalem, where Judah was and not in northern Israel, right? So that was good history for you. And then Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it is no longer a matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so that those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So he's extending to her an invitation to worship him, even though, like, everything is like the Jews are like, it's going to come from the Jews, but the Father God is extending it to everyone. That's kind of what it's saying there. And then the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming. So she's gathering it. Now she's coming along. She has some wisdom about what's going on. She knows about the Messiah. She says, the one who is called Christ, when he comes, he will explain everything to me. And then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just in that moment, he just like looked at this woman of a different religion. She was a loose woman, all these things, completely alone with her. Everything was like not perfect about the situation. He told her, I am the Messiah. He revealed who he was to her in that moment. It was so beautiful. And then just then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, of course, because he's Jesus, right? What do you want with her and why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. So then she went out and then she was an evangelist for Jesus, telling everybody about Jesus. I just think that's like a really amazing story. Who enjoyed that story? It's like one of my favorite stories about Jesus. He empowers women and all sorts of different religions and people just to come after him. No one's too far out of reach for Jesus. That's just all those truths, not to mention how nice he is in that scripture. Did you see how nice he was? He's really, really a nice guy. I'm trying to use language today to like let you think of Jesus in more than just like a far off, distant like being that's like judging you at all times, or that did that one salvation thing for you that one time. I'm trying to get you to think of him as more of like a friend, as someone who is like sticks closer than a brother, who is always with you. Like he's not far from you, he's close. So it's really good. Yeah, skip that. All right. In Matthew 28:20, it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus, even like when Jesus went to heaven to be with God forever, you know, after he died, right before he did that, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He just declares over us, I am with you. Just want you to realize that today, that Jesus is with you always. Until the end of the age, he's always with you. I'm repeating it all the time because I don't know if anyone believes it. Because he's just right there. He's always faithful. He knows exactly what we need when we need it. So I'm going to tell this one last story, and then we're going to spend some time like in prayer and listening to God's voice. This is a story that's kind of recent, and it's kind of painful to share a little bit. So I'm just going to do it because you guys know me, and we're just kind of like, we open our sleeves and we just show you everything. It's kind of what we do around here. So like last year at this time, like my besties were all moving away. Do you guys remember when that happened, when the McKinleys moved away and the Breams moved away? So like it was like pretty hard because those are the people like that we hung out with literally every single day. Like one guy was my boss. Chad was on the worship team with Melissa. The kids were in our youth group. And then my sister moved away too. And I went to her house every single day of my life, you know, and they watched my kids. I mean, we were hanging out like every single day. And they were our neighbors, like it happened. So that was hard. And I was in Shannon Gross's house actually. And Melissa was leading worship. And Melissa was singing that song, You Are Good. Good, you know that song, we're gonna sing it in a minute. It's just like one of the best songs on earth. It just makes you cry hysterically. And like I was like singing it and I was like, you are really good, Jesus, even in this horrific moment in my life. I know I haven't even experienced half amount of pain as like half my kids who are in foster care experience, but in that moment that was like one of the hardest like adult moments of my life, when all my friends just like took off. It felt like they were dying. I know I'm a little dramatic and emotional sometimes, but it was really hard for me. And so I was like singing that to Jesus, and I just realized that like he is still good, he's still faithful, even when the darkest hour of your life can be happening around you, like things could be happening. You know, I didn't want to say anything negative because I didn't want it to happen. Like, because I was like, oh, I bet the Breams are moving the way next. And then it happened the next day. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything ever again. Like, because I just didn't want anything bad to happen. Just like holding it in and just like afraid of like the future. And like just knowing that Jesus is good and he's always with me and he's always faithful. He's always right next to me. He's never going anywhere else. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be my bestie. Like, that's never going to change. Like, and I'm always going to be satisfied with Jesus, because he's always faithful. That's just the truth that God spoke to me in Shannon Gross's living room, which is the best place for prayer. So if you haven't been there, it's great. So I'm going to have Chad come and play for just a minute. I just want to extend a couple things to you guys. First of all, if you have a piece of paper, I want you to get it out, because we're going to do some soaking. Church isn't over yet, so I just really want you guys to engage with this. Say in your heart, like, I'm going to do this even if it's hard for me. Like, I'm going to just try it, you know. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but I'm going to try it. So just want you to engage in your hearts a little bit. First of all, if anyone in this room has never had that experience that I had when I was 15 years old, when I gave my life to Jesus, I just want to really encourage you to do that in this time. You can give your life to Jesus right now, and you can hear from God all in the same minute. Like, I felt God's love for the very first time when I got saved, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like, all these things happened to me, and my life has never changed, like, instantly. Like, instantly, like, my desires for the world were gone. Like, even the desires for that style of music I was listening to, all that stuff was just, like, gone. Like, I didn't want to do that lifestyle anymore, because It wasn't bringing goodness in my life. It wasn't bringing this liquid love of Jesus into my life. Anything that had that on it, I wanted that, the liquid love of Jesus part, you know? So, like, if you want to do that, I just want to encourage you to do that in this time. Just reach over to your neighbor. I'm sure, just have them pray for you, and I pray that you would get saved this morning. Because it's like, what you don't want to do is go out of here and go to hell and not know that liquid love of Jesus when it's so... it's like a no-brainer decision. We give our kids decision all the time. Be like, do you want to do this really easy thing, like eat a piece of cake, or do you want to go to bed? Like, of course they're going to pick the cake, you know? Like, they're super smart, like the kids are. So, like, that's kind of like the decision to follow Jesus to me. It's like, it's no-brainer. It's like, this is what you should do with your life. It's so easy, and he's so good, and he is worth it on the other side. You'll know that. But the second thing I want to do is a soaking time. And soaking means it's just like sitting in God's presence, sitting here listening to God while Chad plays the guitar and serenades us. And I just want you to listen to God, and I want you to try to hear three good things that he's saying about you this morning. Nothing negative, not things you need to work on. Three good things that he loves about you in this place. There's things he loves about you. And then when you have those three things, we're gonna worship and we're gonna sing that song. It's gonna be good. Okay, so we're going to just take about 5-10 minutes, and this is still church, still the message. I just want you to listen to God now. Don't listen to me, just listen to God, okay?
The King of my heart, be the mountain above, fountain I drink from, oh, it is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, it is my song. You are I
sometimes it's hard to hear like just good things from God. Like when I was up here, I was like hearing a couple negative things, and I was like, okay, but what do you think about me in this moment? And I was like, I think that's my voice right now, trying to be condemning to myself. And so like you just gotta train yourself to hear God's voice in that moment. And when you train yourself to hear Him speaking to you, it's easier to hear Him speaking to other people. So if we're always just like hearing this filter from God's voice that we're not measuring up, that we're not good enough, when we're actually really awesome, what about the person that's like actually in sin? Like, what do you think that you're thinking about them and how you're feeling about them? It's going to change the way you think about other people when you hear God's voice of goodness over yourself. It will change that filter for you. So if you can love yourself and what God's doing in you, it's easier to love other people that aren't measuring up. Because we're Christians, we should be living to a better standard than other people, especially because we have Jesus inside of us. It's pretty easy. But like other people, they don't even have Jesus. So like how much harder is it for them, you know, like to live that way? So if you're struggling really hard to hear His voice right now, I'd encourage you to like reach over to someone next to you, be like, what do you think God thinks about me? I don't even know. Like, I don't even know. So like, I just want to encourage you not to leave without hearing one good thing that Jesus thinks about you, okay? All right, who wants to worship just for a little bit? Would that be okay? Should we just stand and worship for a few minutes and then we'll dismiss, okay?
Thank you.
to you right now. And we just say we are amazed by how much you love us, Jesus. We just know that you are closer than a brother even right now. That we can communicate with each other that, like, freely right now, Jesus. We are so grateful for this privilege, God, to know you intimately, and to love you in this way. I just pray for every person in this room, God, that they would hear your voice, God, that they would know you, God, intimately, that they would know you, Jesus, as their friend, as their brother, as their lover, God, as someone they can cling to, as someone they can talk to every single moment of their life, God, that they're never going to be alone, that you're always with them, God. Just proclaim, you declare your truth over them, God, every single day, God. I pray they would know you in this way. Pray intimacy, God, in this room and in this church, God. Intimacy with you, Jesus. God, I pray it would be a church that, like when people come into it, God, that they're like, how do I get to know your best friend, Jesus? How do I get to know this guy that you're talking about all the time? Pray that you would be on our lips and in our hearts at all times, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Before we dismiss here, you guys can sit down. Does anybody want to shout out what Jesus thinks about them? I know it's really intimate. I know. I'll do it. Jesse, you want to do one?
Faithful, compassionate, powerful.
You are all those things. Yeah, that's so good. Aww. I love what Jesus thinks about you. That's great. Does anybody else want to share theirs? Anybody feeling bold? I can share one of mine. Jesus told me he loves how I love my kids, and I was struggling with that. Like, I feel like I'm a jerk sometimes, and he told me that I'm not, so that was really nice. It's really, really kind of him to say that. So, does anyone else want to? Darian? You're confident? You are. That is true. Yep, you're confident in the Lord, too. I know whenever you pray, Dorian, like, you just know that God has your back, so... That's true. Does anyone else want to share one? Okay, Cecile.
I feel like so many people that I am so willing to learn.
Willing to learn. Yep, that is so true about you in every single way. Aw, I love what Jesus thinks about you. That's awesome. It feels weird, but it's so powerful. Is anyone else burning to share one? Like, they're like, I can't do it. It feels awkward, but Loretta? Tender heart. Well, yep. You have a tender heart. I love it. He's the most edifying, guy ever, Jesus. He's the most edifying friend that you'll ever have. Like, he's so nice. He's like Pastor Jeff on steroids times 50. Like, you know how nice Pastor Jeff is? Like, except he's 10 times better, you know, maybe even more. Jeff's pretty close to Jesus, you know. Anybody else want to share one? They're so good. He can say, weird things to you. Like, today he told me he liked my style. That was really cool. I really felt, edified by that. I was like, thanks, I'm feeling a little weird about that, so thank you. It feels silly, but I just want to encourage you guys to keep listening to Jesus' voice, because he has so much to say about you that you don't even realize, and it's going to, just open up a new realm of relationship with you and Jesus, and, just walking with them. And I do encourage you, if you don't even have, if you're not even like this yet, saved, I want you to get saved today. To know Jesus intimately, that's what you need to do with your life first. And then just walk with him, and you can talk with him. You can do all this, on day one. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait, 6 years until I realize, I can know Jesus' voice intimately like that. So you can just do it today. So, all right, well, let me pray for you. Are we ending? Did someone else end the service? Let me pray for you. Cecile? Nope, he's locking. All right. Nope, it's me. All right. Just want to not steal anything from Stanley. He's the man. What did Jesus say about you, Stanley?
Josh actually prayed for me. I didn't really have much chance to listen.
Yeah.
Josh prayed for me. Very
good. You heard something good. Yeah. You're really encouraging, and you're a good worshiper. That's what he thinks about you. All right. All right, Jesus, right now, we just ask you right now that you would come and you pour out your spirit upon everyone in this room and everyone on the internet, God, and just the whole world, God, and Autumn and Jeff as they're coming home. We pray that you would protect us and you would fill us with your spirit every day. God, I pray that we become obsessed with knowing you and just give us grace to run after you hard and say yes to you even when we're frightened, even when we have fear in our hearts. God, we would just run to you, and we know that you bring good things and not bad things. We love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, have a great week.